6:22, Blois Olson with us this morning after the national story this morning, as you heard in the news moments ago about, of course, Minnesota Representative Omar being the focus of the president's speech last night in North Carolina, the rally, and Blois Olson's here talking politics. Blois, I want to get your angle and take on this.
Yeah, you know, it started before he even left for North Carolina. And, as the president went out to brief reporters before he boarded the Air Force One to North Carolina, they started asking him questions about his tweets and the dynamic there. And some reporter asked him about Ilhan Omar's immigration status and, you know, these rumors about her previous marriage. And, you know, he, as President Trump is wont to do, said, well, I don't know about that, but that's what's been reported. And then kind of repeated some of these claims about whether or not she was married to her brother for immigration purposes. And then at the rally, he brought up her name, and then the crowd kind of took over the rest. And it, you can't tell if it was choreographed, but the send her home chant really does elevate Minnesota to kind of this hotspot. And the Trump folks here in Minnesota, President Trump himself has said Minnesota is going to be in play. And I think this is part of that strategy, but I think it's also part of his strategy nationally, as you and I talked about yesterday. And it just so happens that the subject of this week, at least this week's focus, is Ilhan Omar.
So what does that mean for us voters in Minnesota, Blois? What do you see as far as any repercussions, or are we in Minnesota, we're already a step ahead of all of this stuff? What's going on?
Well, I think we're a step ahead of it, unless there's other news about Ilhan Omar, but I think it solidifies her support in the 5th District, because if she's the foil for Trump, that's going to kind of solidify Democrats behind her in her own seat. But I also think that whether or not this is the media or the Twitter echo chamber, that we're still 16 months away from an election. And so I would never be able to say or predict that something that's a narrative today is going to impact next November's election. And I think that these are distractions, not only from other stories that are going on, but I think they help people who follow this stuff hyper closely kind of get distracted. And so I think there's a lot of other news that's going to happen. And I'm going to really kind of see this weekend how many people bring it up to me, either at the hockey rink or the golf course or at the store, to see if people are really talking about this, or if the media is really highlighting this. And, you know, because you and I live in these bubbles and cable news lives in these bubbles, if that's really the focus, or if everyday voters are really talking about this.
Yeah, and speaking of everyday voters, Dean Phillips mentioned the hour he spent in the White House Situation Room with the president as being eye-opening. What did that mean, and what was that all about?
He did. That's in the latest Beers with Blois podcast, which is available at WCCORadio.com. But he said, you know, look, some parts were alarming, but some parts were humanity and hospitality. And he saw Jared Kushner and Vice President Pence and President Trump. But he talked about how the Problem Solvers Caucus, which he was there with early on, ultimately cut the deal that avoided the government shutdown and kept things going. Now, that same Problem Solvers Caucus is headed to the border of McAllen, Texas this weekend, a bipartisan group, and they're going to try to find some solution, some way to get people to work together on a border solution. And so Phillips, this freshman, is still trying to get something done in Washington. And I think that's the contrast between, you know, that story might not get as widely reported as the Ilhan Omar story, but it's still important, and it shows maybe an issue that everyday voters maybe may think more about than just tweets and taunts at rallies.
Let's go back to the Minnesota Department of Human Services, which we've discussed quite a bit this week, Blois. But let's talk about the deputy commissioners who said they were resigning. Then Pam Wheelock comes in as the new acting commissioner, and apparently those two are not going to resign now. Is that right?
Yeah, they rescinded their resignations yesterday. It's kind of a bit of a revolving door. There's a couple of issues that are coming up, and I think there's more coming on this story. First and foremost is that I think that we're going to monitor the precedent here where two lifelong high-ranking officials say we're going to leave because we don't like the commissioner, and whether or not that gives them more leverage than maybe the governor's appointee. in this case, I do think that there's some sort of issue between the commissioner and these deputy commissioners. Secondly, lawmakers, mostly Republicans, but some Democrats have said it's time to split up DHS into other departments. It's too big. It's too big to manage. It's too complex. And I think you're going to see that. And Governor Walz has said he is very open to reforming state government departments. And so this could be one of those pieces for the next legislative session that becomes one of the kind of focus points of the governor and Republicans working together.
And he's going to meet with the governor of North Dakota, who's made the Fargo-Moorhead area a very high-tech, young town.
Yeah, Doug Burgum. Governor Walz is going to speak at the Moorhead Chamber of Commerce today. He's then going to meet with the North Dakota governor. I think, you know, you don't necessarily always see these things, but remember that Governor Dayton and the state of North Dakota with Governor Burgum and the governor before had a lot of tension over the flood preparations and building of the levee up there, including going to court. And so there may be some interstate relationships that need to be repaired now that we're moving forward with that flood project.
Well, America's Webb Simpson, on a completely different subject. Steve Simpson's little brother, as you know, is the leader at the Open Championship right now, boys. 500 par through 14 holes. A couple of players I see are shot back, but Rory, man, hit his first shot of the day out of bounds right now.
There's a golf tournament? What are you talking about, Dave? I have no idea what you're talking about. It may be on the TV instead of CNN, MSNBC, or Fox News this morning.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. McIlroy, 4 over par already, man.
Yeah, but he just birdied, so there's still time. And I have him in my pool.
Okay.
I also have Shane Lowry in my pool, who's in second place, but just put one a little bit into the deep stuff.
You got John Rahm in your pool?
No, I don't.
Yeah, okay.
It's a marathon, Dave. It's not a sprint.
Thank you, boys. Thank you for explaining the golf tournaments to me. Hey, listen, you have a great day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Or Monday, rather. I'm sorry, it's Thursday already. Boyce is back Monday. WCCO time is 6:29. Your traffic, your weather, they're next.